Hello and welcome to Truth in Journalism, a radio broadcast dedicated to applying the Word of God to current events. Well, today on Truth in Journalism, we're going to talk about government and science. Our story is from NPR and is by Susan Davis, Claudia Grisales, and Kelsey Snell, and is entitled, Congress Passes Latest Economic Relief Package to Confront Coronavirus. The House approved the latest measure to prop up the U.S. economy and provide aid to the healthcare system after deploying an elaborate voting system to allow lawmakers to vote while practicing social distancing. The measure passed overwhelmingly, 388-5, with one lawmaker voting present. The five lawmakers who voted against the package included one Democrat, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of New York, and four Republicans, Representatives Andy Biggs of Arizona, Jody Heiss of Georgia, Ken Buck of Colorado, and Thomas Massey of Kentucky. The Senate approved the legislation on Tuesday, and now it heads to President Trump, who has said he will sign it. We have our differences, but we are coming together on this particular bill, and I am proud of that, said House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Democrat, California, who made the case for ongoing robust federal intervention as the only way out of the crisis. I think that we have to do whatever we can to recognize that public policy has a role here, that governance carries with it the responsibilities and opportunity and results and progress for the American people, she said, and that science and governance are the answers to meeting the health care needs and meeting the needs of our economy as we go forward. The $484 billion package includes an additional $321 billion for the newly created Paycheck Protection Program, a lending program designed to help small businesses stay afloat with forgivable loans during the crisis. PPP was popular and ran out of its initial influx of $350 billion in just 2 weeks. It is likely the program will need additional funding. Republicans have criticized Democrats for holding up the bill, initially a standalone $250 billion request to fund PPP. It's unfortunate that Speaker Pelosi decided to hold up this bill more than 1 week while small businesses and their workers desperately fought to hold on, especially minority-owned businesses in underserved communities, said Representative Kevin Brady, Republican Texas, the ranking Republican on the Ways and Means Committee. They suffered, and during this unnecessary delay, America's jobless numbers climbed to 26 million. Speaking to reporters on Thursday during the daily White House Coronavirus Task Force briefing, Trump commended Congress for reaching an agreement on the additional relief. I'm grateful that Congress is answering my calls to deliver these additional $320 billion in relief for the American worker and small businesses, Trump said. In the end, Democrats secured an additional $60 billion carved out for smaller banks to assist businesses, many minority-owned, and have struggled to borrow from bigger lenders. It also includes $100 billion Democrats sought for hospitals and more testing. The House debate included stark images reflective of the time. House Chaplain Patrick Conroy delivered the opening prayer wearing a yellow mask, as did most lawmakers and aides who appeared in the chamber. The visitors' galleries, normally open to the public, were closed. It was the first roll call vote in the House since it approved a prior coronavirus relief bill on March 14. This is the fourth measure Congress has approved since March 1 to confront coronavirus and the economic fallout. While all four enjoyed fast bipartisan support, there are signals that the parties are retreating to more familiar partisan lines for an anticipated fifth package. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, Republican Kentucky, has said he wants a pause before Congress considers additional legislation and that it is unlikely additional measures will be able to pass the Senate by unanimous consent, which is generally reserved for non-controversial bills. He has also indicated he will oppose any no-strings-attached funding for states and that he supports a new legal channel for states to declare bankruptcy to address their fiscal woes. Among the measures Congress is expected to debate for inclusion in future legislation is funding for state and local governments to make up for budget shortfalls, additional cash payments for American workers and families, extended unemployment benefits, aid for the U.S. Postal Service, and first responders and new infrastructure spending. So, this week, as every week for the last many weeks, the news was consumed with coronavirus stories and stories of malfeasance and stories of corruption, often connected with coronavirus, from A.G. Barr saying that the Justice Department will investigate whether people's constitutional rights have been violated, to Michigan's governor getting caught in a pretty open case of cronyism at its worst. But this week, I want us to focus on our government and our government's way of handling a crisis and their philosophy of how to handle a crisis. See, Speaker Pelosi made a very interesting comment when she spoke to the press, and I want to quote her here without the commentary of the news article, and I want to quote, just Speaker Pelosi, because I think it's important to hear what she said. She said, "We have our differences, but we're coming together on this particular bill, and I'm proud of that. I think we have to do whatever we can to recognize that public policy has a role here, that governance carries with it responsibilities and opportunity and results in progress for the American people, and that science and governance are the answers to meeting the healthcare needs and meeting the needs of our economy as we go forward." Now, I don't want to debate with Speaker Pelosi on whether or not government and science have a part to play, and indeed, a big part to play. I don't doubt that, nor do I wish to disagree with that, nor do I wish anybody to think I disagree with that. Friends, even in the Bible, there were quarantine laws. That's what the laws concerning infectious skin diseases are. They are social distancing laws. They are quarantine laws. There is a place for government in health crises. No doubt about that whatsoever. Okay, so if you're one of these people that is saying, like, from a Christian perspective, that the government has no right to quarantine, like, you're wrong. Like, that's wrong. It's false. Now, they can't just declare a quarantine whenever they feel like it. Like, that's obviously bad governance. But to say that there's never a biblical or a Christian case for the government to issue quarantines, that's a false argument. That's not true. Okay, the Bible, it's in the Bible. Okay, so there is a place for government in health crises. And a person would be a fool to deny that medical science has a major part to play in trying to find answers to medical problems. The problem I have is not that Speaker Pelosi said that these are part of the answer, or even a big part of the answer, but that she said that these are the answer. You see, to her mind, personal responsibility, it doesn't matter. Only top-down authoritarian dictates can effectively direct human behavior. That's what she believes, or at least that's what she says here. To her mind, science and government are the answer, not part of the answer, the answer. Now, you might say, well, Luke, what else could be part of the answer to economic and healthcare crises? I mean, what else is there other than government and science here? Well, first of all, personal responsibility. I mean, people can be responsible to weigh their own risks and make their own decisions and face the consequences of their own choices. You say, but Luke, what about people who are irresponsible? Those create externalities. Well, I mean, irresponsible how? If you mean, what about people who go out in public and don't wash their hands and they don't stay 6 feet away from people? I mean, what exactly do you want me to say about that? I mean, that's the risk you take when you go outside your home, is that you'll encounter someone who's irresponsible. That's always the risk you take when you leave your house. Every time you get in the car, you take the risk that someone else will act irresponsibly and kill you in a wreck. Every time you go to the bank, you take the risk that someone else will act irresponsibly and rob the place and shoot you in the process. Every time you do anything, you expose yourself to the risk of someone else's irresponsibility. Do we ban banks because people get hurt when banks get robbed? No, we punish the robber. Do we ban cars because people drive high and drive drunk and text and drive and fall asleep while they drive? No, we punish the impaired driver. Demanding that no one be able to accept risk because some will be irresponsible, that's not good governance. That's authoritarianism. That's absolutism. The Bible speaks at length about negligence. The person who harms someone through negligence is responsible for the harm they do. Read Exodus chapters 21 and 22. These make it plain that you don't restrict everyone's freedom because some will be reckless. You punish the reckless for the damage they do. Again, I'm not saying, no, please don't mishear me. I'm not saying that stay-at-home orders never have a place. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that quarantines are always bad. I'm not saying that. I am saying that government is not the only solution. And in fact, government is not even the majority solution. Government is only part of the solution. Personal responsibility paired with good governance is part of the solution. Friends, you know that the government can never help anyone, by the way. For everything Speaker Pelosi is saying, government cannot help anyone. Government simply chooses whom it hurts. Government cannot help you without hurting someone else. You say, Lukey, that's ridiculous. Well, but it's not, though. Congress just spent another $500 billion. Somebody has to pay for that. There is no free lunch. And whoever has to pay for that, that will hurt them. Or our currency will need to be inflated. That will hurt everyone holding our currency. Or we'll default on our debt, which will hurt everyone who either has our currency or holds our debt. Government cannot help anyone. It can just choose whom it hurts. Now, I'm not saying it's always wrong for the government to hurt people. I want the government to hurt home invaders and mobsters and drug dealers by taking away their freedom and their wealth. I want the government to hurt the wicked. The very nature of government is that it centralizes power and then uses power by limiting the freedom of certain people. Now, good governments limit the freedom of evildoers to maximize the freedom of the righteous. Good government takes away the freedom of robbers and murderers and land grabbers and fraudsters who exploit and harm others. So government can do good by harming some, but it can only harm people. It cannot help anyone without harming someone else. You say, oh, but Luke, you're a Christian. you're not hurting a kidnapper by keeping him from kidnapping him. You're helping him from sinning against God. Well, okay, yeah, I mean, that's true. From our perspective, that's true. From God's perspective, that's true, but not from the kidnapper's perspective. I mean, maybe if you really wanted to push me, I would say that a different way to say this is that all government can really do is choose whose freedoms will be taken. Because government can't give freedom. Government can never give you freedom. It can only take your freedom away. Government can never give you anything. Government can only take something away from somebody else and then redistribute it. Government can never give you freedom. It can only take your freedom away. Freedom just exists until somebody limits it. Freedoms precede government. What I'm saying is what the founders of this nation believe. Freedoms precede government. The founders believed that government was not the solution to all problems because government is by its very nature destructive and limiting. The most that government can do is maximize the freedoms and prosperities of the righteous by limiting the freedoms of the unrighteous. And not, of course, not limiting the freedoms of the righteous. Friends, government is not the solution. It is part of a solution, but it's not the solution. We must have personal responsibility. God commands us to take responsibility for our behavior. And God says that the reckless and the negligent who do harm are fully liable for the negligent and reckless harm that they do. Lastly, science is certainly part of the solution to our healthcare crisis, but it's not the only solution. Because let you in on a dirty little secret here. Now, I'm going to try to whisper this so that nobody hears this on accident. You are going to die, and so am I, and so is everyone else. Science will not change that. And let me, by the way, let you in on another secret. When you die, you will stand before a holy and righteous God and be asked to give an account for your life. Science will not change that. Friends, brothers, sisters, science will not change the fact that everyone dies. Science cannot take the sting from death or the victory from the grave. Science cannot help people to live meaningful lives and die meaningful deaths. Science cannot help you to suffer with dignity. Last year, my grandfather died. About this time last year, he was surrounded by family who loved him and prayed for him and prayed with him. Science could not heal his cancer. Now, please don't misunderstand. I'm very grateful for the doctors and nurses and what science could do to help my grandpa. I wish science could cure my grandpa's cancer, but science didn't and it couldn't. But as he lay at his home in the living room where I spent so much of my childhood, as he was dying, my thoughts were not on how much I needed science or government. My thought was on how deeply grateful I was that my children were playing in the room where my grandpa was dying so that he could see his grandchildren happy and safe as he died. I was so grateful that I got to read John's gospel to my family and pray with them. I was so grateful that I was praying as my grandpa died. I am so grateful that his hope was in Jesus and not in science or government. Friends, brothers, sisters, I know coronavirus has got you scared. I know that people are dying, and that is sad. But we are all going to die. And government and science cannot change that. There is more to a health crisis than cash and quarantines. Personal responsibility and faith in Christ are needed to deal with this health crisis. These two have a major part to play, indeed an even bigger part to play. We can quarantine for years on end, and we can print so much money that 10 generations won't be able to pay the debt. But science and government cannot change the fact that we will all die someday. Science and government cannot help you to live with meaning and die with dignity. Science and government cannot grant you the wherewithal to stand before a holy God on Judgment Day. Friends, Speaker Pelosi is right. Government has a role to play. So does science. Science has a role to play. But to pretend that real hope lies in human wisdom and human ability is utterly foolish. In closing, I'd like to read from Psalm 146, and I pray that the words of this psalm will encourage us to put our hope in Christ. Praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes and human beings who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed. He gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and widow. But he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise Him. Praise the Lord, and let us continue to hope in Him and hope in Him alone. I hope and pray we will. And I hope you'll join us again next week for another exciting episode of Truth and Journalism. Thank you, and may God bless your day to His glory.